Welcome to Empowering Connections, a podcast by Connie Akins, a licensed professional counselor with a private practice to help you heal your personal and professional relationships through counseling advice, tips, and ideas. Empowering Connections will focus on healthy ways to improve these relationships, help you manage your stress, and attain a better sense of self-fulfillment.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, I have a special guest with me. Her name is Heidi McBain. She's been married for 19 years, and she has two kids, both ages 15 and 12. She is a Texas licensed therapist, a perinatal mental health expert. She owns a counseling private practice that's based out of Flower Mound, Texas, and she focuses her practice on mental wellness for moms during pregnancy, postpartum, and throughout motherhood. Heidi and I will be discussing postpartum depression today. And so, Heidi, I just want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you. So we're going to get started with question number one. Why is maternal and infant health important? And the reason I'm asking you this question is many, many years ago, I used to work with a program called Maternal and Infant Support Services here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so it was to help moms transition into motherhood. But since this is your area of expertise, I want to have you, your input.
Sure. So there's a lot around this. There's a great word, matriescence, which is, you know, talking about that transition into motherhood and how it really affects all of us. The physical side, the mental side, the emotional side, the spiritual side, that it's, you know, one of the biggest transitions that a woman goes through. And as far as your question, you know, why is this important? Well, one, it's really important to see it as a transition because there are positive things that come up for us. But there can also be a lot of other emotions. There can be a lot of grief. There can be loss, you know, surrounding your life before motherhood and after. And so it's, you know, really important just to have space to address whatever it is that's coming up. And then as far as maternal mental health and why it's important, you know, it's as healthy as moms can be mentally and emotionally, then we're able to better support our kids. And, you know, this is at every step of the way in motherhood. So, you know, the hope is starting with that transition and with having really young kids, young babies, infants, all the way through launching kids from the home and having them start their own lives and beyond that. And so it's, you know, being able to best support our kids by being able to best support ourselves.
Absolutely. And so, going along with the topic, explain to the audience what postpartum depression is, or the term baby blues.
Yeah, let's start with baby blues, because I think sometimes it's a great question. Sometimes this really gets confused, right? People come in and they'll say, you know, hey, I think I have the baby blues, or even postpartum depression is kind of shortened to I have postpartum, right? And that typically means, you know, people are saying they have postpartum depression. With baby blues, we're actually looking at the first 2 weeks postpartum. And during those first 2 weeks, almost everybody, I mean, it's the stats are 75% of new moms have some sort of baby blues. Most people feel that that's probably higher than the 75%, but that's what the statistics are saying, that it's 75% of new moms have some sort of baby blues. And that can be, you know, a whole lot of different emotions. So, you know, the typical one is sadness, right? People are like crying and they have no idea why. They're just, you know, highly emotional. They can be angry. They can be anxious, like things that are, you know, outside of the norm for them or just heightened for them. And there's thought to be a hormonal piece to this during the first 2 weeks. There's thought to be, you know, this piece with a lack of sleep and the transition, right? Suddenly, here's a new baby that, you know, if you're new, especially if you're new parents, like, here you are, you're supposed to take care of this little one, right? Good luck. And so there can be, you know, a whole lot of emotions around that. And once people get to that 2 week mark, the hope is that, you know, things start to stabilize. So we're not saying it's like a light switch and overnight people just suddenly feel back to themselves. But the hope is that this piece starts going down for them. And so if it doesn't start going down, or if we start seeing things increase, then we're looking at, you know, some of the postpartum disorders like postpartum depression that may be showing up at that point. And then we're looking at for the rest of that first year of the baby's life. So that full first year we're looking at as far as postpartum depression. And again, this is, you know, we're talking specifically about one, but, you know, there can be a whole lot of other things that are showing up, like postpartum anxiety, postpartum OCD, you know, lots of other things in there too. But this is definitely the one I think we hear about the most is postpartum depression.
Right. I didn't realize that moms could actually have OCD after giving birth. Did not realize that at all.
Yeah. Postpartum OCD. And that's actually, you know, a big one with anxiety. And I can add anxiety in here too. You know, we hear so much about postpartum depression, or we hear about the really scary ones like postpartum psychosis, right? Which is very rare. I mean, it's thought to be like 1 to 2 out of 1,000 moms. But as far as, you know, postpartum, like, or they call them perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, right? So it's things that can show up during pregnancy and also continue during postpartum, or things that maybe just show up during postpartum. Depression is one of many things, but often in my practice, I'm seeing symptoms of depression along with symptoms of anxiety. And so depending on the severity of some of this, right, you could be seeing panic attacks or OCD or phobias that are showing up during this postpartum period. So it's, you know, it can be very, very difficult. Here you are trying to take care of you, trying to take care of your baby, trying to have things functioning at home. And then, you know, these really hard pieces can also be showing up mental health wise.
Okay. So what are some causes of postpartum depression, Heidi?
So, you know, the first thing with postpartum depression is sometimes we can take a look back and see, you know, one, is there a history of depression? So sometimes there's a history of depression outside of this perinatal period of pregnancy and postpartum. Sometimes we can look back and see, oh, something was actually showing up during pregnancy that wasn't caught. And then for some people, it just shows up during postpartum. And then the thought is to be like, for a third of people, you know, this was something that they had before getting pregnant. A third of people, it's something that showed up during pregnancy. And then for a third, it's really focused on postpartum. And I want to just get into symptoms a little bit, and then, you know, we can jump a little bit more into causes. But if you're looking at, you know, symptoms of depression outside of the perinatal period, you're looking at, you know, depressed mood, you're looking at sleep changes, you're looking at eating changes, you're looking at energy level, concentration, a whole lot of different things. During postpartum, depression actually shows up very differently. And I think it surprises people because the expectation is, oh, I'm going to be in bed all day crying and I'm not going to be functioning. And that's typically not how it shows up. It typically will show up for people where they're more angry than usual, or they're more agitated, or they're more irritable, or they're maybe feeling more restless than usual, more frustrated. And it's important to kind of focus on that piece, especially the agitation piece, because some of these other pieces just aren't going to be normal and aren't going to be at base level. Anyway, like when we're talking about sleep, you're probably not sleeping very well during postpartum. When we're talking about eating, right? A lot of people forget to eat when they're caring for their baby. Or we're talking about concentration, right? You might not have a lot of concentration or a high energy level. And so again, this piece of, you know, agitation and anger, and people really describe it as, I just don't feel like myself, like something that wouldn't normally bother me, I'm like flying off the handle about, right? Or I'm like feeling, you know, insanely angry at my husband, and, you know, there isn't a reason for that. And so, you know, that piece is really important. And then your original question was about causes. And so, you know, we're looking at a history, we're looking at a family history, right? Sometimes people don't have the personal history, but it does run in their family. We're wanting to rule out the medical stuff. So sometimes like it can actually be a thyroid issue that, you know, is causing the symptoms. And once that thyroid issue is taken care of, people start feeling better. We're also looking at support, you know, what does their support system look like? What is the, you know, how do their finances look? Are they, you know, feeling stable? Also sometimes like if this was an unexpected pregnancy, right? Like it can be really hard once the baby's here to, you know, wrap your mind around, you know, this wasn't on the time period that, or the time frame that I was expecting. And so then there can also be, you know, some depression symptoms coming up. And sometimes that's, you know, grief and loss symptoms too, right? Like sometimes this can also come up at that point as well.
Right. And I would say some other causation factors might be marital problems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
People who are single and it's their first baby and they don't know what to expect. And they, like you said, they have limited support. And then I've always wondered, Heidi, about parenting a child with special needs and how that impacts a mom who might've had a different expectation for their newborn baby.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. And I think, you know, there's often so much grief and loss there for people. And, you know, it can be really hard to say, you know, I'm grieving what I expected life to look like. And it looks very different right now. And that can be a very, very hard space to be in.
Okay. Wow. And I want to ask you how, I know you said the baby blues start about 1 to 2 weeks afterwards. Tell us more about how long the symptoms occur and when do they occur after birth for actual postpartum depression?
Yeah. So baby blues is considered those first 2 weeks after you've had your baby. So symptoms typically show up, I think it's around 4 to 5 days after giving birth. But again, like for some people, symptoms show up right away in the hospital. And for other people, you know, it might be in the tail end of that. So it isn't set in stone, but it's thought to be those 2 weeks post-baby. And then after those 2 weeks is when we're actually looking at, you know, if things don't start stabilizing for people and the symptoms stay or they get worse, then we're looking at possibly postpartum depression. And postpartum depression can show up at any time during this first year. So, you know, sometimes I'll get, you know, clients, things have been really good, you know, like they've, you know, they got through the baby blues and they've transitioned pretty well into motherhood or into new motherhood or into having another baby in the household. And then something, you know, can happen that can either, you know, trigger the symptoms or there can be a lot of things just compounded and hitting at once, where, you know, people are maybe 11 months in and are coming. And sometimes it's, you know, things were maybe more mild at the beginning. And so, you know, they weren't noticed or, you know, they felt like they could manage it. And then it kind of slowly progressed. And for other people, just, you know, it either just shows up or something happened and then the symptoms are there too.
So give us an example of something that happens as a trigger that would lead a mom to your office.
I'd say one of the big ones is like, you know, if a child gets sick, like really sick, like has to be hospitalized or something medically comes up that was unexpected. I would say that's a really big one that I see. And thankfully it's not that common, but you know, when we're looking at kind of those before and afters, you know, it's like, well, here's how my postpartum was going before this thing happened. And here's how I was managing everything. And then, you know, this traumatic situation happened and now here's how I'm functioning over here.
Okay. Is it any different for moms who may have experienced a more difficult pregnancy or more difficult delivery?
Yeah, I think, you know, it depends on the person, but, you know, when we're talking about trauma, like trauma is really defined by the person, right? And we could talk about like big T traumas, like anybody looking in would be like, yes, that would be traumatic for me too, versus these, you know, kind of call them smaller T traumas, right? Which is, I felt like things were out of my control. I felt scared. I felt terrified in this situation. And someone else looking in may not, you know, view it that same way, or they may have been in a similar situation and not have experienced it as traumatic. But for me, this was, you know, actually traumatic in this situation. And so that can come up during pregnancy. That can come up, you know, during birth. You know, I think, you know, I just saw a statistic that for last year, birth trauma was way up than where it normally is, like for people that were giving birth during 2020.
Wow. I wonder if that's related to the pandemic.
Yeah, I would bet that a lot of it probably is.
Okay. So how can a woman's partner or family offer support with postpartum depression?
So I think what's interesting is sometimes with postpartum depression, family members actually see the change before the mom herself sees the change. Not always, but I will say, like in my own practice, I definitely have spouses and parents that will call and will say, like, I'm really worried, you know, about my person. Right. And, you know, partly looking for the psychoeducation, right? And then partly looking for how do we get them connected to services? And so I think that's part of it, right? Like if you're seeing something and you're feeling like a professional needs to be involved, you can reach out to a counselor, you can reach out, you know, to their doctor to let them know if, you know, your partner or, you know, your daughter, your friend, isn't ready to do that on their own. And so again, like, I think sometimes it's hard because, you know, moms, especially new moms, don't always know what's within the norm and what isn't, you know, and sometimes it can take like having a second child for people to be like, oh gosh, there was a lot that happened that first time around that was outside of the norm. And I just didn't realize it.
Okay. So I'm not really shocked that a partner would be calling your office or a parent. And I think that moms a lot of times notice things about their daughter's pregnancy because of their own experiences. But
that's a great point.
Yeah. So what is the treatment for postpartum depression? I heard you mention psychoeducation. So what type of activities or things you do with the clients?
Yeah. So, you know, it depends on the person. I mean, you know, sometimes postpartum depression is really mild and, you know, people might still be able to function and do okay. You know, but for some people, medication might be, you know, the route that they need to go. And that would be through their medical doctor or psychiatrist. For other people, it might be therapy, you know, and hopefully finding a perinatal mental health therapist. So someone that's, you know, trained in pregnancy and postpartum. For some people it's both, you know, it's the therapy, and the medication. And, you know, as far as therapy, there are a lot of things I recommend. I kind of joke with my clients, you know, it's a lot of throwing spaghetti at the wall and you don't know exactly what's going to stick because everybody is so different. And, you know, so I would say some of the big ones like meditation can be really helpful. I usually recommend meditation apps just to help get people grounded and, you know, feeling centered in their bodies again. I'm really big on journaling. And I think because a lot of grief tends to come up during this time too. And so, you know, having people just have a safe space to journal and write about what's going on, especially outside of session, can be really helpful. You know, depending on how structured people want things, like sometimes I'll recommend, you know, like workbooks or, you know, reading material. That one can be really tricky in postpartum too, right? It's like, you don't want to overwhelm people with too much. So I usually kind of hold back on that one. And if somebody's asking or it seems like they would be open and they have the space, but you know, that one can also be really hard. And there are also some really neat like mood tracking apps right now too. And I think, you know, for the really structured people that like to see the progress, like you can like track your mood. I have people do it at the end of their day, track your mood, see, you know, how your day went. And then there's usually a little box depending on which one you use, but like a little box will come up and you can type in what was going on that day, right? So if you're having an off day, you know, maybe it was you were feeling really sad about something and then you could document that. Or, you know, like for anxiety, there's a correlation between anxiety and sleep. And so if it was just a really bad night and you were up all night and then the next day your anxiety was really high, that's another way that you can correlate it. Like we would expect the anxiety to be much higher on those days that you didn't get enough sleep the night before.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Heidi. I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And those were some wonderful tips for the audience. And I hope that new moms or just moms who are recently giving birth or have given birth within the last year, I hope you heard something that is useful and beneficial to you. And Heidi, how can people reach out to you?
Sure. So my website's usually a great way. It's my name, HeidiMcBain.com. Or I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm Mental Wellness for Moms on both of those.
Awesome. I'd like to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The Empowering Connections podcast is not intended to replace the need for a professional counseling relationship. This podcast does not constitute professional advice or counseling services. As always, if you need mental health services, please seek a qualified mental health provider. You can find Connie Akins on the websites Psychology Today and Therapy for Black Girls. If you have an iTunes or Spotify account, please subscribe, share, and continue to listen. Feel free to check out Connie Akins' website at www.empoweringserenity.net and follow Connie on Instagram at ConnieAkinsLPC. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast. We appreciate you listening to the Empowering Connections podcast and providing feedback. Stay positive.